Fred Film Radio, BFI Flare, London LGBT Film Festival, United Kingdom.
Okay, so this is Sarah Bradbury for Fred Film Radio, and I'm reporting from the BFI Flare Festival in London. I'm joined today by Michael Blythe, who's the senior programme for BFI Flare. So, Michael, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So maybe you can just start by introducing, for people who aren't familiar with BFI Flare, what's the concept behind this festival, what's its history and mission?
Sure, BFI Flare is our LGBTQ plus film festival. It runs every Easter time at BFI South Bank. We go for 11 days, and it really celebrates the best in contemporary queer cinema. But beyond that, we also do lots of events, discussions, club nights, archive screenings. So, you know, it's a really immersive experience. We've been running for 33 years now. So it actually started back in 1986 as a short season of films called Gay's Own Pictures at what was then called the National Film Theatre, and it was 8 films, 7 films about gay men, 1 film about lesbians, and it's really grown from there and become a festival and a real kind of event in and of itself.
I guess you could say over that time queer cinema has really evolved in terms of representation we see on the screen, but also how mainstream some of those films can be. And it does feel like we're in a really interesting time where there's more opportunities given to different kinds of directors and different kinds of stories to be told. How do you see the cinema landscape has evolved for this kind of representation?
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely agree with you in terms of what I was just saying about when the film festival started, you know, with eight films, and it was very focused towards gay men. And we had one film about lesbians, which was Desert Hearts. You know, over the years, you see representation develop across, you know, particularly trans representation on screen, visibility of bisexuals, things like that. So, you know, we are seeing how representations are evolving over time. But still, those representations we don't see enough of in the mainstream media, and we don't see enough of in mainstream film and TV. So I think it's really important for us that we are celebrating diversity in all its forms. I think a question that people often ask me is, do we still need queer film festivals? And I wholeheartedly think we do, not just as a means of giving filmmakers who often don't get the opportunities they always should deserve a platform, but in terms of audiences being able to see themselves reflected on the screen. So I think it's really important that we do create a space for queer cinema.
And in terms of the programming, maybe you can give us some of the highlights of the festival for this year. And what's your process? How do you decide, you know, which, because there must be so many to choose from, which ones are going to make up the program?
There's a lot to choose from. It's a tough job, but somebody's got to do it. So I work with four fellow programmers, and we each have different areas of speciality and different kind of areas of interest, and between us we watch hundreds and hundreds of submissions, have many arguments about what films we want to include and about the breadth of the program, the shape that it will take, and then somehow we whittle it down to the program that we have, which, like I said, takes place over 11 days. So we have around 50 feature films, we have close to 100 shorts, and as I said, we have lots of kind of additional program as well as part of the festival. But it's been such a great year this year. We've had loads of highlights. We opened with Chania Button's Vita and Virginia this year, which was wonderful. It's great to open with a British film. It feels like such a interesting kind of UK and London story. So it's the story of Virginia Woolf and Vita Sackville-West and their relationship, starring Gemma Arterton and
Elizabeth Debicki.
That's right, yes. That was a really great film to kick off the festival with, and I think it really set the tone. And from then, we've just had so much stuff. The other night, we had a standing ovation for a British film called Tucked, which is about a kind of aging drag queen and a younger non-binary performer and the relationship that they share. We've shown Toma Heyman's new documentary, Jonathan Agassi Saved My Life, which is a really interesting insight into the life of one of the most popular gay porn stars in the world. We've had, God, so much, I don't know where to begin. Actually, coming up over this the final few days that we've got left of the festival, we're doing a celebration of Marlon Riggs' work. So we're showing his film Tongues Untied from 1989 and showing a selection of his short films too. So again, it's another example of how we want to be about contemporary queer cinema and about looking forward, but it's also very much about looking back at our history. Our history's on film and how we've evolved.
And what do you see that might be some of the trends that kind of have come through in LGBT cinema? Because it's like, one of the things I was thinking about when I watched Vita and Virginia the other day is actually, you know, I guess a lot of period dramas or a lot of our historical figures a lot of, like, issues of sexuality have kind of been written out because they weren't acceptable at the time. And even when we retelling those stories, we sometimes don't even realise that there are those other aspects to romances and people's sexuality that were hidden underneath. And it almost feels like we're seeing a lot of films like that. I know there was Colette that were open at the London Film Festival. The Favourite obviously did very well, and it had like all these, you know, complex relationships in that triangle. So do you think that that's something that's particularly coming through, like period dramas and going back and seeing these other layers to characters we didn't see before?
Definitely. I think we're in a real age of queer biopics, and we're seeing those histories told and kind of retold and reframed in new ways, and which is really exciting. You mentioned Vita and Virginia, but also we're closing the festival with J.T. Leroy, which is a film from Justin Kelly about J.T. Leroy, who was the pseudonym of a writer who was posing as a young kid on the streets, so who was having a tough time. And it was about, you know, writing from his perspective about his life, and it was kind of one of the great literary hoaxes of recent times, and that stars Laura Dern and Kristen Stewart. So again, it's about, you know, famous figures and representing them and talking about their kind of queerness and what they mean in terms of broader queer culture. And then elsewhere outside of the festival, we've obviously had films like Bohemian Rhapsody, we've got Rocket Man coming up, and, you know, often these films don't always get it right, and there are some criticisms about how they gloss over the queerness of the characters. But I think it's really exciting to see these films being made about queer icons from, you know, throughout history.
And do you still see that there are some taboos to be broken? Because I guess part of it is also pushing boundaries and, you know, realising that there's an appetite for to get an insight into other people's lives that maybe people don't really know about or they've never had the opportunity to learn about. So it's kind of getting that window, but also presenting things in an authentic and realistic way.
Absolutely. We want to make sure that people know that queer cinema isn't just for people who identify as LGBTQ+. You know, we want to celebrate great cinema in all of its forms. So I think it's really exciting for us to see queer films breaking through in the mainstream. I think it's really important. It's really important for the industry. It's really important for audiences, all these different things. But again, as I mentioned before, we still need to create a space for those voices which still aren't being represented. Something for us which is really exciting about this year's festival is we have a selection of films about intersex identities. So we've got a feature documentary called No Box For Me, an intersex story, and it's accompanied by two short films about the intersex experience. And I think that's something we don't often see represented on our cinema screens. And similarly, as I mentioned earlier, bisexuality is often something which is missing from cinema and something which isn't really explored or talked about. So this year we've got a really great selection of films which place bisexuality at the heart of the narrative. So while, like I said, we're so happy to see films breaking through, we're so happy to see films doing well at the box office that are dealing with queer issues, but it's certain queer people that are being represented, and it's the more kind of mainstream end and the more kind of populist side of queer culture. So anything that we can do to give space to those lesser represented voices is brilliant.
And so where do you see BFI Flair sitting within the broad landscape of film festivals? Because obviously there are so many internationally, and then even just within the UK and London, there are so many. So how do you see that it sits alongside those? And as you were already mentioning, you know, why is it important to give a platform or kind of carve out a space dedicated to this kind of cinema?
Well, of course, I think BFI Flair is the greatest film festival in the world. But, you know, that's just my opinion. No, I think, you know, BFI Flair, we've got a great reputation in terms of queer festivals. I think we're one of the biggest, we're one of the longest running. In terms of the UK, we're one of the biggest and most popular queer events, full stop, that happens in the queer calendar throughout the year. So it's great to see the festival continue to go from strength to strength. We have to have such dedicated audiences, but we have so many new people coming each year. We also do some additional activity which is supporting the industry. We have a mentorship program, so each year we recruit a selection of emerging LGBTQ+ voices who are making their name in the industry, and we support them and we provide them with a mentor who also works in the industry. So it's all about cultivating new talent and working with voices who are emerging and kind of cultivating those.
This is maybe a slightly tenuous question, but something that I feel like keeps coming up recently is this kind of debate around who can represent who on screen. I was thinking in the context of, I don't know if you've been watching Fleabag, but there's a gay character that plays a straight man. And I know in lots of films, gay characters played by straight men or women. What do you think your view is on that? And do you think those sort of debates are going to continue the more and more that we kind of have this as part of our mainstream cinema?
Absolutely, those debates are going to continue. I think we're at a really interesting time in representation on screen at the moment, where people outside of the industry, audiences, are really clued in to what's happening, and they're really vocal about what's happening, what they want to see on screen. So one of the big issues at the moment is about cis people playing trans roles on screen, and there's been lots of controversy around that, and there's been lots of discussion both kind of for and against that, and that's something that we're discussing as part of the festival. We're having a free talk on the final Sunday about trans representation on screen, who is telling our stories, who we want to tell our stories, and what it means to be authentic when you're talking about people's lives. So I think it's a conversation that's going to continue to run, but I think we are perhaps at a turning point at the moment. I think people are really clued up, and I think people are really invested and really want to see filmmakers doing the right thing.
And in terms of future goals for this festival in particular, but also maybe changes that you would like to see more broadly in the industry as we go forward. You know, are there any things that you think concretely could be improved to broaden representation and you know, recognise that there is an appetite for different kinds of film?
Absolutely. I want to see festivals like BFI Flare and queer festivals throughout the world showing that there are audiences for films that aren't just about white cis gay men. There are audience of films about bisexual people, about trans people, about intersex people, and I think if we continue to prove that there's an audience appetite for those, then they will filter through. And I think once we start to see more representation in the mainstream, we know that we're doing something right.
And do you think that comes down from not just film festivals but also award seasons? It's kind of basically, you know, the spotlight put on particular kinds of films sometimes of what brings it to a broader audience, and that can be just as important as, you know, where it's distributed.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, you see films, it's a very obvious reference to make, but something like Moonlight and the impact that getting the Oscar and, you know, that buzz around that has, and I think that does start to shift people's perceptions, and more importantly it starts to shift industry perceptions. So, you know, it's great to see these films getting kind of buzz, getting award nominations, etc. But I think that's not the end goal. I think the end goal is for people to see themselves represented on screen. There are various ways that we hopefully will get to that point. And I really think that queer festivals are such an integral part of that.
Do you see that any particular kinds of film in terms of nationality that they are pushing the envelope further than others? I don't know. Do you see that British or American or different kinds of European cinema are further ahead or behind in that respect?
I don't know. It's hard to say, really, in terms of, you know, making a kind of big generalisation. I think for us it's just really important to see films coming through from countries where you don't see huge amounts of queer representation on screen, in terms of the amount of films that are being produced in certain countries and the small amount of those that deal with LGBTQ plus issues. So it's really important for us to champion films that we don't see as much of. Something in this year's programme that's been super exciting and has been such a pleasure to be able to present is Rafiki, which played in Cannes last year, and it's a Kenyan film about two young women who a former relationship, and, you know, at the centre it's a love story, but obviously it's very politicised because of the environment it's taking place. So for us to be able to champion those kind of stories and to be representing different voices from across the world is such a huge part of what we want to do at BFI Flare.
All right, well, that's been amazing. Thank you so much for sharing all that with me. And good luck with the rest of the festival. And I hope
Thank
it all
you.
Goes well. So, yeah, I've been Sarah Bradbury from the BFI Flare Festival in London for Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.